We have one individual here. We try to accomplish or accommodate as much as we can that cannot be here later for a public comment. Jodine, if you'd state your name and.
Jodine Bing. And I'm here. Hi. There you go. I'm here to comment on the No Wake proposal. My family and I own three cabins in Kalay Bay. We purchased our cabin over 12 years ago, and there were many, many cabins for sale when we were looking, but we didn't buy the big fancy house. We bought the one on Kalay Bay because we are avid water skiers. This is a family recreation. My brother, my kids, grandkids, husband, we all water ski, and this is the perfect water ski bay on Canyon Ferry. And it brings us a lot of enjoyment. For water skiing, the calmer the water, the better the skiing. And this proposal shows, this is Kalay Bay, and we have three cabins. There's probably 15 or 20 cabins on the north side of the bay and zero cabins on the south side of the bay. It's where the cabins start. Well, we get up as a family in the morning when it's calm, and we're able to water ski this whole bay. And water ski boats are designed to not have a big wake. So it's not a real intrusive wake problem. But there's no public boat ramps on Kalay Bay, and there's no cabins on one side of the whole bay. I was at the February meeting, and after I didn't speak to all of you, but I did speak to the enforcement officers, and I left feeling confident that this proposal was going to be abandoned, the first one that's now recommended. So I'm here to say I didn't rally support from my neighbors or many of my family members to express how this will be a takeaway of why we're here. So I'm asking that you please consider not taking our ski recreation away. And maybe not all of you can understand this, so I'm going to try and put it in terms that maybe you get. So let's just say your family's huge fishing people, and you're looking for a place for your grandfather to fish off the dock and your kids and to fish in the boat, and you find a cabin and you buy it, and for 12 years you have all these great memories fishing, and then suddenly you can't drop the hook.
Just so you know, we did do a final on that already earlier in the meeting, and it was approved. So unless the commission wants to reconsider the
No public boat ramp.
Yeah. No, I'm just mentioning what the commission did for an action earlier.
Scheduled for 9:30. I got here at 9:15.
Yeah, we have a tentative, but we can meet, have any of the items come up at any time. And I think we still have a note at the bottom of our agenda that says it can happen at any time. We go in the order. So, but yeah, it's been approved. So I'm sorry that you weren't here and they could take that into consideration, but the commissioners, as I say, can take that into consideration now. And if they wish to reconsider the action taken earlier, they can based on your comment. If not, you can file or request and talk about it at a different meeting. If this does not work this year and there are too many problems, then the department, I'm sure, will look at it and take comments from people out in the public in regards to how it was working. But I'm sorry you were not here at that time. But again, the commission can take that into consideration.
Could you please take it into consideration that...
Yes, all right. Thank you. We'll move along. Eileen, next on the agenda, I believe, is the amendment to the rules. Bitterroot River.
Just before starting our next item, I wanted to thank the commission and those who made the very kind comments about myself and my staff. Eric Roberts, Zach Shattuck, and others worked very hard on the programming guide, and it's very nice to hear them appreciated. On Commissioner Colton's comment about meeting anxiety and full moons, the only meeting I check the moon schedule on is the commission meeting. So I won't make any comments about anxiety. But moving on, our next item is another final item, amendments to the Bitterroot commercial use permit restrictions in Region 2. I'm going to hand this over to Don Scar, our Habitat and Access Bureau Chief, and Don will make the presentation on this item.
Good morning, Commission. I'm Don Scar, Habitat Access Bureau Chief, to discuss the amendments to the Bitterroot commercial use permit restrictions. If you recall, we came to you in February proposing this for the first time. Our changes were based on information collected during the 2018 season and feedback from river users on the first year of the effectiveness of the first year of that rule. And basically those changes were change the word float to launches, stipulate a period where those floats were restricted, that is June 1st to September 15th. And also at your request at that February meeting, we also changed the proposed rule from the review period, which was 2024, down to 2022. So those are the changes we put out to the public after you approved it in February. So public comment period went from February 22nd to March 22nd. We received 140 comments. 71% were in favor. 24% were opposed, with 8% not specifying preference either way. So based on that response, we continue to propose these rules as final. Would ask for your approval of that. And so I'll stand for questions, and also as my safety net is Pat Saffel, Regional Fish Manager in Missoula, if we have any real specific questions. But all this, you should have also in your packet the draft rule, as well as a summary of the public comment for your review. So,
thanks, Don. Are there any questions from the commissioners? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the Fish and Wildlife Commission adopt the proposed amendments to ARM 1211-6302, changing floats to launches, providing a definition for launch, provide a time frame from June 1st to September 15th for launch restrictions per section of river for commercial use permit holders, and adopt the proposed amendment to ARM 12.11.6301 to reflect the correct year that the five-year review is to occur in 2022 instead of 2024.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Any questions, comments from the commissioners?
I have a question. Does the change in definition from float to launch appreciably change the
conditions? Excuse me a second. Pat, could you move the mic closer? It doesn't pick it up over there.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Scar, does the change in definition from float to launch appreciably change the conditions on the ground for commercial use?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Byarth, it does. When it was under float before, it basically restricted the float, that is the time the boat could be in the water between, you know, one of four sections on the river. With a launch, they can put in anywhere and go through the entire commercial use area here. So the launch is also defined now. And the reason this was all changed was because when the rule was originally developed, there was some confusion over the Citizens Advisory Committee that was set up for this, there was confusion over, you know, whether to use float or launch. And so this review period they went through, they kind of chose the word that kind of had the best overall, I guess, recognition of what that meant by users out there. Plus, the definition is now in there, so that makes it clear, you know, what's going to be allowed. I'm sorry, I could add that it has, so the end result is it is allowing for the outfitters to float through a larger section of the river, which is something they desired, particularly in high water where you're moving quickly, and previously what they would be restricted to would make for some pretty short trips.
Further questions from the commission? Mr. Aldridge, did you have a question?
No, I didn't. I think that was well answered, you know, right there.
Okay. If there's no further questions from the commission, and I'm going to make a statement that I found out about 3 o'clock yesterday I was going to be chairing the meeting, so I did not get time to go over everything as thorough on running it as I should. So I'm going to rely on Director Williams and our chief legal counsel if I screw up, but I am going to try to err on the side of caution. And or I believe on this one we need public comment. And so if there's no questions from the commission at this time, I'm going to open it up in Helena to public comment. I would ask that you hold it to 3 minutes or less. If you have some flyers or things that you wish to hand out, give them to Shauna over here, and she will distribute them to the commissioners. So with that, is there any comments? Come forward, state your name, where you're from, and if you have any affiliation with any organization.
I don't have any affiliation with any organization. You'll have to excuse me.
State your name, please.
Oh, my name is Mike Hansen. I'm a fifth generation Bitterrooter. I own property on the West Fork. We have very, very deep roots on the West Fork. I've been fishing the West Fork River since I was 6 years old. My family bought property in 1968, and I've been an avid hunter and fisher ever since then. So I have seen the progression of the river from 50 years or better. And excuse me, I'm not used to doing public speaking in it. Have to get my thought together a second. I have an objection to changing the rules. And the first thing is that I believe that the general public was not well represented in this entire process. And I'll ask you just to look at the list of the people that were on the Citizens Action Committee, and you don't find any plumbers, electricians, loggers, truckers, the regular guys that work every day. I think that that they were highly underrepresented in this process. Now, I have to give you credit. There were a lot of meetings, and I myself could only make a few of them. The only reason I can live on the West Fork now is because it's family property that we bought back in 1968. You want to get to go to West Fork now, you better be in the $1 million or plus. So when I look at this whole process, I looked at it, and it started with about 23 letters to the commission that were of people, landowners who were upset that there were a lot of boats going by. So you all sent out a poll, you sent out a poll, and were absolutely astounded that you got a 90% return rate on your poll. And 75% of those people said there were too many boats and that most of them stopped fishing or either drastically curtailed their fishing because there were too many boats. So from the whole process did only four things. One, it put a cap on boat. It put a cap on outfitters. It didn't put a cap on the days or the guide days. It just put a cap on outfitters. But it really didn't put a cap on outfitters because we started out with 36 and ended up with 53 on the main stem, and we ended up with 26 on the upper West Fork. So no guide, no outfitter lost a single day. But your own figures say that from 2016 to now, we've had a significant increase in the boat traffic, both commercial and private use, on the river. That was one. You put the cap on. The second one, they broke it into four sections. Well, the committee was heavily weighted with guides, or outfitters, I should say, and they were lockstep and basically drove the whole problem. But they're the ones that picked the four sections. Then you put 4 days out that singled out that said one section each day of the week for non-commercial use. Well, you did the first section. Section one was wade fishing only on section one on Fridays. Where's all the working guys on Fridays? They're working. Then the last thing was they limited to two boats per outfitter per section. So what this rule change does is completely do away with the fourth portion, with the last thing that it was. An example, a guy can put two boats in at Job Corps at the beginning of Section 3, can put two boats in at Appleberry at the beginning of Section 2, and then all they got to do is make a short little trip up to Canoe. 30 minutes later, they got four boats in Section 2, and 4 hours later, or 3 hours later, they got six boats in Section 3. So this, you know, the guide's got everything they want, but the guy that's got a wade fish didn't get nothing. And I think that if we, the regular guys out there, have got to wait until 2002, that the guides ought to have to wait that long too.
Gay, if I could get you to wrap it up, please. We've exceeded the 3 minutes, but go ahead and finish if you got a few things to say.
You know, the other thing that nobody talks about is the habitat destruction either. I just met with Fish and Game, Bitterroot Conservation District, the floodplain manager, the Forest Service, to talk about all of the trees that the floaters come through and cut out in the upper section. And nobody talks about that. They go through and cut the trees out, and we're trading, the channels are trading, and we're trading good habitat for bad habitat. We've lost a lot of it, and nobody talks about that. Anyways, I'm opposed to the change. I think they should ought to have to wait just as long as we have to wait.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any further comments here in Helena? Further comments in Helena? Are there any in the regions? Seeing none, are there any comments from the commissioners?
Just a quick comment, you know, I attended the hearing up in Hamilton, and there were some good thoughts that came forward. The one thing that I think we can rely on is that Region 2 and the fisheries people are really watching closely what happens. Otherwise, we would not have been where we were, you know, with a year after the implementation, we have a change recommended. So I think it's an iterative process. You know, we look at it that way, and I think that another year of evaluation can be looked at. And if something appears that wasn't anticipated, you know, when this rule change was proposed, then maybe we can deal with it. But I think right now it's ready to go.
Further comments from the commissioners? Hearing or the director? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We'll move on to the Glendive Chamber of Commerce.